Psalm 143. Actually, I want you to hold your place there and turn with me to Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Our subject this morning and our subject tonight is the believer's prayer. This morning it's going to be on the attitude of the believer's prayer. And tonight it's going to be 10 requests of the believer's prayer. And all of it's going to come from Psalm 143. We're going to do the first 6 verses this morning and the last 6 verses tonight. Prayer, the ability to truly pray in spirit and in honesty and in sincerity from the heart is a gift of God. And we're going to see that in just a minute. It's a present from God. Proverbs 15, look at verse 29. It said, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous." The wicked are praying too. But the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. I hope that the Lord will hear me. We have prayed 3 times this morning. Brother Tony prayed, Brother Chris prayed, and I prayed. I hope the Lord heard us. You know what I mean? Go to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, look at verse 9. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law." What is the law? We hold it in our hand. The law of God. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law." If you hear something in the law and you turn your ear from it, I don't want to hear that. "Even his prayer shall be abomination." He prays. He's religious. But if he doesn't gladly hear every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, every single word in God's law, his prayer shall be an abomination. I don't want that. I don't want that. I really don't. Saul of Tarsus was a religious man. Saul of Tarsus eventually became the Apostle Paul. He said, "I was a Pharisee of Pharisees." He was a religious man. He prayed. He was in big religion with the government. Big time religion. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church because of the word. He killed the followers and believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He held the coats and watched them stone Stephen to death. Acts chapter 9 verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I saw a cartoon one time on a a religious station. kids' cartoon, Saturday morning cartoon. And it showed this fellow with a thing on his head riding a donkey and kind of out in the desert. And all of a sudden, you know, the sun came and the little sunlights were shining. And you heard this voice and it said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" You think that's how God spoke to Saul? It knocked him off his horse. And he said, "Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul answered, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." What happened was, the word himself stabbed him like a two-edged sword, and it hurt. And the Lord said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, isn't it?" Can't do it. It's irresistible. And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Get up. Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was blind. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He's just sitting there blind, astonished at what just happened to him. "I was a Pharisee. I was in religion." And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold," he's praying. For the first time in his life, that man started praying. You think that was the first time he ever prayed? He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's praying now. He's seen a vision. He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel." I chose that self-righteous sinner to break him, knock him off his horse, blind him by me, so that he could see nothing and think on nothing and dwell on nothing but me. Now you go preach to that man. The Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul." I love that part. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Says, "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized." When you saw the truth, when you saw the King of glory in the Scriptures, when you saw the God of heaven for who he is, and that the pages became three-dimensional life, did it seem like scales fell from your eyes? And you started going, "I see it. I see it. It's on every page. Brother Saul, your chosen vessel." Oh man. The Lord said, now he's praying. He was religious before, but now he's praying. True prayer cries out to God for help. That's what true prayer does. You know that story of the Pharisee and the publican in the temple? You know that story? Luke 18. Saul used to pray like a Pharisee. He was so proud of himself and religion. I go to church. I drive by all these people in my chariot and they don't go to church. But I do. I'm so proud of me. I go to church. I do so many good things for people. Thank you for making me so good. Now, this man Saul is blind and he's sitting there worried because he's thinking about Stephen. He's looking at Stephen in his mind. And he's thinking about all those men and he's going, "You're going to kill me, aren't you? You're going to kill me, aren't you?" And rightfully so. I'm a sinner. Now he's praying like a sinner. "God, be merciful to me. I'm just a sinner." Okay, now go to our text. Psalm 143. The attitude of a believer's prayer. Okay? Psalm 143. Verse 1 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord." First and foremost, I don't even expect you to hear me. I don't know if you will. It's up to you. It's your purpose and mercy if you would even hear my prayer. I know I don't deserve it, but hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Oh, I have supplications deep inside. Please. Lord, I come knowing that the only way you will hear me and answer me, verse 1 says, is in thy faithfulness and answer me in thy righteousness. I understand that that's the only way you're going to hear me and answer me is in thy faithfulness and in thy righteousness. Thy faithfulness, Lord, is Christ. That's thy faithfulness. Christ is the true and faithful one. Lord, thy righteousness is Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who is righteous. Hear me in Christ, Lord. Hear me in Christ. He said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's it. So I pray to you in Jesus' name. That's why we say in Jesus' name. I pray to you for Christ's sake. We ask these things for Christ's sake. I'm only able and allowed to pray to you because of Christ. There's a sign here in Kingsport that I pass every time I drive here. And I can't remember exactly what it says, but something about Christ being the mediator between God and man, and that's scriptural. But the way they have it worded is it's like, "Try Christ, He's your best chance." Christ is God. The only way that I'm able or allowed to pray is because of Christ. Because of what He did. He left His throne in heaven and He came down to this vile and sinful place. That's the only reason I'm even allowed to pray to you. Because Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. Lord, would you hear me? Because He did that, would you hear me and answer me? Verse 2 says, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant." Oh, don't enter into judgment with me, Lord. Please don't look upon me to judge me. It says, "For in thy sight shall no man living be justified." I cannot justify my actions. I can't justify my actions. And I might as well get honest because you see everything. I can't hide anything from you. I cannot justify the words that come out of my mouth. I'm sorry. I cannot justify my thoughts. I'm sorry. I cannot justify my deeds. Turn with me to Job 14. Job 14, verse 1 says, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. He springs up beautiful." That new baby, Chris, is so beautiful. And our children are so beautiful, and they're just shooting up like weeds. Can you believe how big they're getting? They just shoot up like a flower. They got the whole world in front of them. And they're smart. "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down." It's sad, isn't it? "He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee?" Death is inevitable. Death is coming. And when I get there, you're going to open your eyes upon me and look upon me and what I've done. Verse 4 says, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Lord, here's my attitude approaching you. Unclean. Unclean. I'm unclean." When a man had leprosy, by law, if he saw somebody else walking down the street, he had to go to the other side of the street hollering, "Unclean. I'm unclean. Don't come near me. I'm unclean." "Oh, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Nobody. None good, no, not one. "But I do plead justification." I just sang a song that says, "Justified, O blessed thought." I do plead justification. I do plead words. I do plead thoughts. I do plead deeds. I do. That song said, "Complete in thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought, thy blood hath pardon bought for me. And glorified I too shall be." I plead justification. I plead words. I plead thy word. I plead thy word. This is how I come. This is my attitude. I'm a sinner and I'm unclean and I can't do anything right. And I don't even know if you'll hear me, but would you hear your word? Would you hear your own word? I plead thoughts. I don't plead my vile, sinful thoughts. But thanks be to God, your thoughts are not like my thoughts. I do plead deeds, the work of redemption accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm pleading His blood. That's all I have. That's all I have. Let me show you that in Scripture. Go to Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. It says, "Knowing..." that a man is not justified by the works of the law. This is God's law. You've got to obey this law. And I agree with that. Knowing that a man is not justified before God by the deeds of this law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say by my faith in Jesus Christ. It says by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. That's what we believe in. I don't believe in my faith. I don't. I do not believe in my faith. I believe in His faith. That's what I believe in. It says, it's not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. If my flesh could do everything in this book, then I would be justified. But I can't. So to say, well, I did most of them, that's not good enough. You're not going to be justified. When our Lord walked this earth, He did them all. Everything He did was that the Scripture might be fulfilled. He did it. It says it all the time, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. He was justified by the deeds of the law. I'm not. I'm justified by the faith of Him. By His faithfulness to me. No work of mine, complete in Thee. I'm just complete in Thee. Salvation's of the Lord. Okay, back to our text, Psalm 143. Verse 3 says, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul." Now we have many enemies, and the first one we think of is the great adversary. I don't even want to mention his name. We have many enemies. I have many enemies. But I do not have to point the finger very far at all. I got more enemies right inside here than I even know what to do with. I don't need to point those. My flesh has persecuted my soul. God made Adam. He formed him and he became flesh. And after he was laying there, flesh, the Lord God, who Jesus Christ, walked up to him and went. And man became a living soul. And my sinful flesh has persecuted my soul. He, my flesh, it says in verse 3, hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. When a person gets a hold of his sin, that is the biggest eye-opening experience. You talk about scales falling from your eyes. When a person understands, I'm a much worse sinner than I thought I was. When a person gets a hold of his sin, he'll acknowledge, I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man walking. What do you mean I'm a dead man? I drove myself over here this morning. I got up, I put my clothes on, I ate some breakfast, I drove myself over here. What do you mean I'm dead? That's not what I'm talking about. A true sinner will say, I am a ruined soul. I'm a ruined soul. We're here to find out what's going to happen to our soul. This is how I approach God the Father. Lord, I've ruined my soul. There's no soundness in me. I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man. Verse 3 says, the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He's smitten my life down to the ground. He's made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. I'm a dead man. Verse 4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed in me. My heart within me is desolate. That's what it causes in a person. I'm overwhelmed. I've never experienced this before. I feel desolate. I feel empty. I was so full of myself before, and now I'm so empty. When I look within my own heart, within myself, I just see emptiness. And I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. This is the attitude that a sinner approaches God with. I'm just being honest. I'm not holy. I'm not holy. I feel empty. And Lord, when I look to me, if I have to keep this law, I have no hope. I have no hope. I feel desolate. That's how I approach you, Lord. I'm a sinner with no hope, in need of a Savior. I'm just asking. I have nothing to offer you. I have nothing that I can do for you. I need to do all the taking if you'll do all the giving. What will the Spirit of God lead a sinner to do who has that attitude? He'll cause him to do something. What will the Spirit call a sinner to do? Instruct a sinner to do who has that attitude. Verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I remember the days of old. I remember the word that's been passed down from generation to generation. I remember that the God of heaven said, I change not. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16 says, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see. Stand and see. Don't just blindly follow the crowd. Stand and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you'll find rest for your soul. If you're feeling desolate, if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling overwhelmed, thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you're going to find rest for your souls. Remember the unchanging Word of God, and you'll find rest for your souls. Our text says in Psalm 143, verse 5, Remember the days of old. Don't give me anything contemporary. Don't give me anything contemporary. Don't give me anything new. Any new work, any new way. Verse 5 says, I meditate on all thy works, the things that you have done. What must I do to be saved? I can't do anything. I can't do anything. By nature, we just said I'm dead. I can't even believe. Believe on the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. I can't. I'm dead. Walk up to a casket and say, if you believe, I have the strength in me to pick you up, I will. He's dead. I can't believe it's not of myself. The ability to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Salvation has absolutely, positively nothing to do with me. Nothing. It has nothing to do with what I do. It has nothing to do with what I think. It has nothing to do with what I know. It has nothing to do with me. You know what I am? I'm just a guilty bystander. That's it. Salvation is totally of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Oh, I believe salvation is of the Lord, but I believe I have to do this. Well, then it's not of the Lord. If I'm dead, then I can't even cry, "Lord, save me, lest I perish." I can't even cry that. If I'm dead, I can't cry. But if I cry, then it means God has made me alive. Does a baby cry in order to be alive? Or because it is alive? Well, you just delivered the child and it's not alive yet. We're just waiting on it to cry. As soon as it cries, then it'll be alive. If I cry, then it means God has made me alive. God's people do not remain dead in their sins. They don't. They approach God saying, "Oh Lord, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead." And God answers them and says, "No, you're not. You're praying, aren't you? Behold, you prayeth." That means I've made you alive. Let me remind you of what I've done. David says here in verse 5, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hand." That word muse means I converse, inwardly and outwardly. It means I utter, I declare, I speak on the work of thy hands. That's what I do. And verse 6 says, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee." This is how I approach in prayer. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My Father, my Savior, my help, my one thing needful, my pearl of great price, my love, my life, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. That makes me think of a little child. I have a little child. And she just walks up. Our Lord said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." Little children. Here's the attitude of a believer's prayer. "Lord, I'm a child. I'm just a child. I don't know anything. I'm just a child. But I'm your child. If you'll have me, I'm your child. And I stretch forth my hands unto thee." It says, "My soul thirsteth after thee." My soul doesn't thirst after the world. My weak, sinful flesh does. My flesh does. It thirsts after the world. It thirsts after the money, the fame, the whatever the world has to offer. Sad to say, but it's just honest. I'm just honest. It thirsts for every vain thing this world has to offer, but thanks be to God, my soul, the soul you gave, the soul you redeemed, the soul you called, I can honestly say, I need you. I want you. It thirsts after thee as a thirsty land. David said in Psalm 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee." Let me get to it. I'll finish reading it to you. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, 'Where is thy God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And then our text, we're going to stop. It says, Selah. And that means pause right there. Just pause right there. I'm a child. I am nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. But I just need you. I just need you. Just pause right there. Stop right there. Stop and think. Just stop and think. One of these days, we have a hope of being in glory. That's why we're here. What is my hope of glory? What is it really? Ask a lot of people that question, and you'll hear every answer under the sun. I gave my heart to Jesus. I wrote down the date. So that's my hope of glory. But did he accept it? What's my hope of glory? What is my desire? When all this is over, and this is so short, man's days are just few and full of trouble. 70 years. 70 years is nothing compared to 100 billion, trillion, smillion, which is only a fraction of the first second of eternity. When all this is over, what is my desire? What do I want? What is my rest? What causes me to just settle down? What is my comfort? Lord, would you put it in me to say, it's thee? Would you put it in me to say, it's thee? What do I want? You. It's thee. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And let's just pause right there. That's enough. Let's pause. We're going to come back tonight at 6 o'clock and we're going to pick up verses 7 through 12. That's 10 requests of the believer's prayer. Stand together with me.